think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, writes a column for The Hill, writes a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on the news of employment and unemployment in the United States in these last days. Given all the caveats about the government shutdown, we have this headline from the Wall Street Journal dominating the story. U.S. unemployment rose in November despite job gains. Subhead, the 4.6 jobless rate is the highest in more than 4 years dating to the pandemic. And the explanation, a long-delayed government report showed that 64,000 jobs were gained in November, while 105,000 jobs were lost in October. Liz, a very good evening to you. All of this requires an adding and subtracting, but the flavor of the headline is joblessness is rising, and the Federal Reserve is yet to respond to the anticipation of unemployment. The twin messages that the Federal Reserve has emphasized these last years are cost of money, that's inflation, and unemployment. What we have now is evidence that the Trump administration these last months was correct in pushing Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve to move more forcefully. Are we looking to the Federal Reserve to blame for this number? Are we looking to the government? Are we looking to the shutdown? Who do we blame, Liz? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, first of all, I'm not sure how much blame there should be. I mean, yes, the unemployment ticked up to 4.6%, but it really was 4.56%, so barely 4.6 with a rounding. And what's encouraging a little bit is that partly that's happened because the participation rate went up. And that is something that the Trump administration has been pushing. We have far too many people in this country not working. We want more of them working. If more of them are trying to get a job and that pushes up the unemployment rate, so be it. Hopefully they'll get jobs and hopefully that'll stem any further increase in the unemployment rate. I think if you have to look through this data dump and try to figure out what it all means, which of course we're all trying to do, private sector hiring was up both in October and November. Private jobs in October was up 52,000, and in November it was up 69,000. And so, interestingly, the Fed may actually take more information from that than they will from the fact that government employment continues to go down. An awful lot of us think that's a very good balance. You want private job growth, and you want government to begin trimming its excessive payrolls. I mean, that during the Biden years, of course, just the opposite happened. You had an enormous increase in government hiring, and in many months, private sector hiring simply stalled. So I think if you were to sort of take one step back, this report, though the bottom line numbers are not very good, some of the underlying components actually are pretty good. We don't know how distorted all the numbers were by the government shutdown. Remember, Kevin Hassett came out several weeks ago and said, yeah, the government shutdown is going to hurt the economy. So was some of the lack of hiring in November because of that? Maybe. We don't really know. It certainly caused uncertainty, John. And I think for some small businesses, all that uncertainty sort of piles up. That combined with tariffs, it combined with all manner of other issues going on in the government, you know, the government shutdown was kind of a dispiriting activity and I think probably hurt small business hiring. But we will see in weeks to come, you know, where what the breakdowns were. The other thing that has been on my mind, and I don't know what to make of it, is that up until that now, today, all the big hirers for seasonal employment have been AWOL. I mean, remember, you know, usually in the fall, you hear about Macy's hiring this many and Target and so forth. We didn't really see that this year. And I don't know whether it was because retailers were pretty discouraged about the outlook, whether some jobs were lost to AI, whether they simply didn't make a big noise about hiring. I don't know. But what you love anecdotes. I will tell you one anecdote. I was in a store in a little upstate Westchester town, and stuff I was looking for was pretty much sold out. I said, wow, you know, you're really getting down to kind of bottom level here. And they said, yeah, you know, it's been really slow. And then in the last several days, people just swamped the store. So I'm wondering whether there's been, we saw the consumer sentiment number get a little bit better. I wonder if finally the fact that the market is up so much, the stock market, and people really have made a huge amount of money in stocks this year, is beginning to propel holiday spending. It was pretty good over the Black Friday and Cyber Monday span. Spending was definitely up. But, you know, it's all about the consumer, always. And if the consumer is going to kick in here in this last days before Christmas and top up spending, that's going to be pretty good going into the new year. What is important about going into the new year to the consumer is the tax refunds that people are going to get are going to be, in many cases, $1,000 plus more than they got last year because of the big, beautiful bill, which Republicans have failed to explain or sell to the American public, but people are going to find their paycheck goes up. By the way, another positive thing out of this employment number is that real wages are up. Wages, hourly wages are up 3.5% so far this year. And you know, that's above inflation. So we are seeing an increase in real wages. As you remember, the first two or three years of the Biden presidency, real wages went down. People really got a kick in the teeth because of inflation. Now, yes, inflation's not 2%, but it's less than what we're seeing in the way of wage gains. So I don't think all of this is a particularly negative picture, actually. And I think it's going to get better. I was cheered to see the construction employment rose. You would expect that from all the data centers being built, the amount of money coming in to build new factories by the pharmaceutical companies. And so that, again, is sort of, I would say, sort of validation that we can be optimistic that some of these commitments by foreign countries and companies, and certainly by the AI participants, are very real. And that is leading to some employment. So, bottom line, the top line headlines do not make for good reading, but I think behind those headlines, there are some pretty encouraging trends.
Anecdote about the construction industry. A colleague of mine, Gene Marks, travels the nation talking to small business associations that meet in various capitals around the country. And most recently meeting with a construction association, I believe from the South or Southwest. Their business is booming, and there's one explanation. They're booked for years because they're building data centers. They cannot find enough skilled workmen. Mm-hmm. Now, that is not a complaint. That is like, look at us. And yeah. I note that the Wall Street Journal's version of this anecdote is in a headline today. Remember the AI bubble that was here 2 weeks ago? Well, it's back, but it's more articulate. CoreWeave's stunning fall from market, Grace, highlights AI bubble fears. The data center provider's terrible six-week slide picked up speed when a famous short seller piled concerns on top of delays. So they're going after one particular bad performance by a company that was, how is it, overowned? I always love that euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're to take a step back and realize the AI is what? Because AI is in everything we're talking about. Where is it? For example, retail. retailers said to be stalling. However, the Amazon truck is like a perpetual motion machine outside of my – I'm in the country. I'm way out here. And the Amazon men start at 4 a.m. and men and women start at 4 a.m. and they go 7 days a week. They never stop.
Yeah, it's amazing, honestly. I thought you were going to say the AI impact on retail is pervasive and it's innovative. I don't know if you saw the articles last week. I didn't know about this, that there are now – buyer assistants, AI yes, buyer assistants.
Rufus is the one at Amazon who always chimes in when I'm making a decision. I go, all right, Rufus, what's your opinion?
Well, it's an amazing idea that, you know, very soon, if not already, you can call up or you can go online for Bloomingdale's and say, I want affordable china for a house where there's lots of kids. Give me recommendations and they will. I mean, I find that really kind of stunning and terrific, right? I mean, that actually is helpful to people, I think. Maybe also very helpful to the retailers. So you're right, it's everywhere. But in terms of the data center build out, what I keep asking CEOs about it, I keep asking people in the business, and the fact that there are stalls or delays may have to do with shortages of workmen, because all I'm hearing is they need more, they need more, they need more, and they cannot get enough computing power. They can't. And some of these data centers are obviously being held up because they can't get enough electricity. But the reality is, I don't see any dimming of the demand for this stuff. I think it's about the delivery.
The Chinese are boasting that they're about to put their data centers in low Earth orbit. That's about the scale of demand.
Yeah, here. I've heard that too.
A detail also about the unhappiness on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Something about state capitalism. What is that? You mentioned the Biden administration. Were they state capital? And is Mr. Trump flirting with state capitalism?
Well, I think that what is what there's controversy about on the right, and I would put the Wall Street Journal editorial board, I'd put a lot of people in this category. They don't like the idea that President Trump wants to take a stake in Intel, or take a government, have a stake in a rare earth company, or you name it. And he has done that in cases where, for example, in the rare earth business, where otherwise the investors in that company that might not have the confidence to build it out, to put tremendous capital behind it, et cetera, you know, they need conviction that the government's not going to look the other way 5 years from now when the Chinese again flood the market. Remember, we were a dominant supplier of rare earths, and the Chinese went after that business, overexpanded, as they always do, flooded the global market, drove prices so low that we went out of the business. So I think what Trump's trying to do is provide backstops and also, frankly, get recompense for U.S. taxpayers who are supporting some businesses in America. You know, the Democrats passed this, and some Republicans, the CHIPS Act, which I thought was ludicrous, $50 billion going to the most profitable ventures on earth in the semiconductor business, and were demanded no return for that, no give back to taxpayers. And I think Trump thinks that's kind of illegitimate, and the taxpayer deserve to participate. If it's a success.
Liz Peek, The Hill, Fox News, much on Fox Business. When we come back, Lessons Learned 2025. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moto Casino, America. a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.